How did you come to be a constitution maker?
Well, it was through destiny, I suppose.
Okay.
because I'm originally studied journalism, and I decided to do MA in human rights. Went to London, and I became fascinated with law, so I came back to Iceland and did a BA in law.
Uh-huh.
And then everything collapsed while I was studying law, so I went to one of the protest meetings and had a speech,
uh-huh.
Which I basically told the government to fuck off.
Okay.
Because they didn't want to let us vote, you know, and they were this old conservative government that we had here, which had a lot to do with the crash,
right.
Was in a denial, complete state,
mm-hmm.
of denial. So I had this speech, which was very sort of, I suppose, angry, but it was people were angry at them,
mm-hmm.
and somehow that got stuck in lots of people's minds,
okay.
and that's why I ended up here. I decided to volunteer like 520 other,
right.
people, because I thought I could contribute, and because I thought it was amazing to be able to do something political without,
uh-huh.
becoming a political person and destroying your soul while at it, because of obviously power,
okay.
corrupts, and this is like a very limited project, so you can do it in and out without becoming a bastard, I think,
uh-huh.
you know, and still make a lot of difference and help, and you know,
uh-huh.
maybe make this beautiful new social contract which will make Iceland become a much more nicer place.
Okay, so this is I wonder about this distinction between being a politician and,
mm-hmm.
doing politics.
Mm-hmm.
What is this about?
Yeah, the thing is that I would like to say that this is a little project that has nothing to do with politics, but that would be a lie, you know, because everything is political, especially this. I mean, we're taking hugely political decisions here.
Yeah.
Most of them are quite radical, you know, and I don't know how much you know about their content so far, but we're really trying to strengthen the democracy and,
yeah.
make people more powerful and all this, you know, which is of course political.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is I hate party politics, you know, where you just draw this line and you are there and I am here and you are others and,
right.
we are us and we are always going to be, you know, no matter if we actually would agree in our hearts, we're going to pretend to be disagreeing.
Right.
I think it just destroys the human element of the humans.
Okay.
They become like totally, you have to be very special not to become, you know, just blind towards your own faults and everything.
Okay.
In an environment like that.
Yeah.
So I think a human being has a tolerance.
Yeah.
Maybe 4 months is the upper limit,
yeah.
of you being inside something like this, you know, before,
yeah.
you start making compromises and you start losing your values maybe, and you start losing the oversight of why you're doing things. You
yeah.
know? So this is a way to be effective, try to change the world, which,
yeah.
is obviously the best thing you can do if you believe that you have something to say, and,
yeah.
do it without becoming somehow smeared in some sort of a political agenda making, you know, game.
Okay.
Do you understand? It's like a difference between going full force in and becoming part of the system which is broken, or trying to fix the system like an engineer almost from outside.
Uh-huh. Okay. And in your experience so far,
mm-hmm.
Does this work? I mean, you will have to make compromises too. You're 25,
yes.
people,
yes.
from totally different backgrounds,
yes.
and totally,
yes.
different,
but
interests.
But it hasn't got the party
values.
Element to it, which is hugely important, because that's what's,
right.
been most corrupt about Iceland lately, is that there have been these political parties that have been hugely powerful and they've been corrupted, you know, and they've taken decisions which have been really not good for the population,
mm-hmm.
but good for the friends of the few, you know. So, I mean, that element isn't in here, which is quite amazing. We,
okay.
were quite lucky what people got elected into this thing, I think, or lucky, you know, no, people are just clever. They elected, I think, a very good group of people, good at working together,
yeah.
and very free from political, you know, association, most of them.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have the same sort of aura around it than normal political debate. So we are maybe compromising, but the compromise becomes better than the ideas of the,
okay.
others. So that's the beautiful part about it, is that we are working through a consensus model,
right.
which means that we try not to vote and the majority just like sort of says, oh, sorry, you were wrong, to the,
yeah.
minority, but we,
yeah.
try to take into account what the other ones are saying,
okay.
and make an even better solution. We've managed to do that, for example, with the jurisdiction thing,
mm-hmm.
where we had this like in unequal votes. Somebody from the east side of the country had like a 1.8 vote compared to me in Reykjavik. Because,
okay.
You know, and we've changed that, but we've still managed to keep the voices of the, you know, it's a little bit complicated. But
the electoral system, you mean?
Yes, but yes,
as you said,
electoral
the judicial system.
Yes,
okay.
But there's like jurisdictions within the country, you know, jurisdictions not being red word, but.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah. But so that's like, for example, the specialists, they thought we couldn't even talk about this because it was too complicated. But we found that because we have two excellent mathematicians who are specialized in it, but also because we believe in finding solutions which are greater than, you know, it's like the principle of the ant, you know. That's why we had the national meeting at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Where just 950 people were selected randomly,
mm-hmm.
so they could have the ideas of what sort of society they want to live in.
Mm-hmm.
Because somehow when people come together, like ants, they're more clever than the accumulative, you know, brain power of them.
Mm-hmm.
They become even more clever than just the, you know, amount of cleverness.
Okay.
You know, something is added when you have like this type of dialogue. You know?
Okay.
So I think that's forming here in here as well, which is a little bit magical. It's nice.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's touch the question of the outcome and how this works along with the parliament, and then I would really want like to go into the internet and net neutrality issues.
Okay. Outcome scary now because Althingi is the one that has the power to decide where this goes and when.
Yeah.
Our main concern is that we get to do something and Althingi doesn't start messing with it before it sends it to the people. That actually the people get to be the first, the nation, in a referendum, will get to say yes or no to this before Althingi starts messing with it.
Yeah, but how can you do this? I mean, you'd have to alter the constitution in order to get a referendum.
No. What we're doing is the law now allows for Althingi to have a referendum on whatever it wants, but the
only
referendum,
a consultative referendum.
Yes. So they could have a referendum to see if the nation wants this constitution.
Right.
If it says yes, there's a huge political pressure for Althingi not to change it, because then they have to be a general elections and they have to approve it again.
Okay.
And they won't be getting through in the next elections if they try to go against the will of the nation, obviously.
Right.
So this is like the catch, you know. Obviously it hasn't got a legally binding effect, but it has got a hugely political effect. So.
Right. And the Prime Minister has announced to be sympathetic with the referendum.
Yeah, she wants to go into in front of the nation, and the nation gets to decide. So she has said that this is like you know, the dream of the guy who was the founder of who made Iceland independent. He finally now is getting his constitution, an Icelandic constitution for the first time.
Right.
And it has to go to the people. She has said that.
Yeah.
She's won.
She's one, and you don't.
Well, there's a lot of people who don't want this. You know, there's a lot of strong. Powerful.
Even in their camp, in her camp.
Yes, some.
I mean,
but
she has a majority, hasn't she?
Yes, she has, but she has a very narrow majority, and you know, we could possibly get some of the, you know, middle farmers party to agree on this as well, but the Conservative Party. I mean, that would be a very interesting day.
Right.
If they would go, these are great. You want our friends not to have all the fish anymore? Okay, great. You know, let's do that. No, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I do think among the voters, there are many people who consider themselves, you know, like neo-capitalists or whatever, and conservatives, but they will like this new constitution because it isn't going to the extreme. It's not like making a communist state out of Iceland or something. It's just answering a lot of demands which have been in the society for decades, which are just like old unfairnesses that need to be corrected.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, structuring the democracy again, just like you go with your car to the tuner and he, you know, makes it run.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what we're doing also. We're just, come on, you know, taking the ministers out of the parliament and, you know, obvious stuff like that.
Which,
you know, try to separate the powers.
Yeah.
And my special hobby is also the power of wealth. How do we control that in our constitution? Because that was part of what went wrong in Iceland. I mean, maybe we should say that the government is not permitted to be responsible for the debts of private companies, for example. I mean, that's going very far, but it's an idea. And maybe we should say that that companies are not allowed to support political parties, only individuals.
Uh-huh.
Maybe we should say that political parties are not allowed to advertise except for a budget which is even to all.
Right.
So they can, like now, they can just buy votes almost with a massive, you know, like propaganda in the media. totally dependent on how rich they are, mm-hmm. and you don't even know who's giving them the money. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
So there are ways.
Okay. How afraid are you of the indifference of the people towards constitutional things? I mean, most people say constitution is a very abstract, lofty thing.
Mm-hmm.
I never give it thought about, and this is about economy, okay. and this is about everyday life,
yeah.
and stay away
okay.
from.
Okay, fair enough. I think you're right, but I think that if you can make a text which is beautiful.
Okay.
And it's like essence, you know, like when you read a book or when you listen to a song, if the text is beautiful, even just the first part, which is the Bill of Rights, human rights and all that, if it touches people, they will stop thinking like that. Because what has been happening is that there have been a huge barrier, which is called law, between the people and their social contract. The lawyers have manipulated it to be their monopoly somehow. And they have built this wall between, which is ridiculous, because this is what we need to be agreeing upon if we want to be living together in a society. This is the social contract, the written one.
Right.
So, I mean, it's ridiculous that people feel that they don't have ownership in it.
Yeah.
And I think the only way to overcome that is by writing a really beautiful text.
Okay.
A text that sort of moves the cells in the body and they go like, yeah, I want to belong to this, you know. So that's our challenge as well. It's not only like the technical side of it, but it's the literature side of it, you know.
Okay. I mean, you have some writers among you, haven't you?
Yes, yes. We have everything. They doctors and writers and priests and, you know, you name it, we have it.
Yeah. Okay, before we've run out of time, net neutrality,
mm-hmm.
Freedom of information,
mm-hmm.
Where are you going there? What is...
There's a huge cry from our readers or the people who's communicating with us, both from other countries and from the Icelandic ones, to secure the freedom of the internet somehow.
Yeah.
Because this is what people who have really good knowledge about this, they know that this is the next challenge of democracy.
Yeah.
Controlling people's minds through the internet by editing it, by putting restraints to it.
Yeah.
But this is a really this is a balance which is really hard to achieve, because we don't want porn to be flooded over Iceland either. We want to secure, we now have laws against porn in Iceland, like you can obviously find it online if you want, but you can't publish it in the newspapers or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And this is something that we like. I mean, we want to be a little bit like a democracy, like a Nordic democracy that doesn't just like allow everything, you know, and it's very difficult to say on one hand, okay, unrestricted access to the internet is part of human rights. Like the United Nations have done a recent report where they basically say that restricting internet access can be a violation of human rights.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. I mean, this is a hugely... it's opening up the concept of human rights to a massive extent,
mm-hmm.
you know. So we're building on that, and we're trying... So our current sort of proposal is like this. In the freedom of expression,
mm-hmm.
we have put in a clause which says the government or the official authorities must ensure
mm-hmm.
that the people can use the right to express themselves openly,
mm-hmm.
In such ways as with providing unrestricted access to the internet and mm-hmm. information technology.
Okay.
This is the way we're dealing with it now.
Okay. Right? But this goes for Icelanders.
Yeah.
But there's also this safe harbor...
Yes,
a different thing.
That's more like for the legislator, but we're just trying.
This is not your issue.
No, we can't, because we have to always limit ourselves to the constitution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're just putting up very broad lines. You know, and then we are careful not to restrict the legislature in any way. But obviously, that's a hugely interesting.
Yeah.
The IMI project and all that is very interesting.
Yeah.
But that's
different thing. Okay.
But we're using a lot of ideas from those guys, actually.
Okay.
Like, for example, in our information, we put a really long information clause, which basically says that all information, official information, should be available to the public online.
Mm-hmm.
And there should just be a list.
Mm-hmm.
And the government will have to make this list. And there, every document which has been made is listed. And if it's a secret, it has to be said why it's a secret and how long it's a secret. So
mm-hmm.
for journalists and for people, they can go online to this website and just find out what exists,
mm-hmm.
what information exists, what data exists, and they've done this in Norway, for example, and what is secret, and you know, that's how you can make transparency, and
mm-hmm.
transparency is like the root of democracy, you know.
Right.
So
what if something needs to be, like, the secret needs to be secret that it's there,
Mm-hmm. That should never be like that. No, I don't think that's justifiable. If there's a secret, we're allowed to know that there is a secret.
Okay.
But you could maybe
work... As a matter of principle.
Yeah, definitely, because the people are the one, the nation owns this information, you know, and the people who are governing, they are just there as our servants.
Right.
And if they have to keep a secret from us,
yeah.
we should know it,
yeah.
and we should know why, and okay. we should know when it should be lifted. I don't see any scenario where you could say, oh, of course, the Minister of Foreign Affairs is supposed to decide what is secret and what not, and whether we know about it. I think that's just not democratic at all. I think the democratic way is to say everything is open. What's not open is still going to be visible and explained to us why not open. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a huge change we're making.
Right,
you know, it is huge. I know that, and we will obviously have to let them have some years to, you know, implement this. But I don't understand why this is not always the case in the times of such technology.
Right.
You know, why shouldn't everything just be open? I mean, it will save a lot of money. Imagine all the clerks and the official civil servants who are, like, sending out the same information every week to different people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, imagine the, you know, the time and the craziness. And if an engineering company makes a report about energy in some sort of area, it'll sell it to the Ministry of Finance, it'll sell it to the Ministry of Environmental, it'll then sell it to the power company, which is owned by the state. And essentially, the taxpayers are paying threefold for this. Instead of just saying everything that's paid by officials or has been paid by officials is official.
Mm-hmm.
These are our information. Mm-hmm. I know that this is not the way people think about it normally, but this is the right way to think about it, I think.
Okay. So these parts have been agreed on in the council,
they're online now. You know, so they're in the current document, which is always changing.
Right.
But nobody has said like, oh my god, no way. People have said, okay, come on, guys, are you going a little bit too far?
Mm-hmm.
In our committee, the ones we are making it in the committee A,
right.
we have control over the human rights and the natural resources and the environment.
Mm-hmm.
But we have put this in the human rights chapter because I think it's part of, you know, information is part of somehow your the whole picture.
Right.
So nobody has gone like, you must be crazy.
Okay.
But some people have gone like, okay, are you going to make some sort of bureaucratic monster? Or, you know, that's sort of the voice of reason or worrying voice we have heard. But even the lawyers that we've sent it to that are inside the ministries, they are like, okay, but you know, this will take a little time, and you know, this, you know, that you're putting this will cost, but nobody is, you know, I think they're actually ready for so much changes,
right?
You know, that you wouldn't realize by being in the society, because people aren't talking about what sort of changes they want. But for example, yesterday I put my status on Facebook, I said, okay, what happens if we say that there's a ban against this public. You know, like I was saying before, that if the government can't be accountable for private companies' debts, is there something I'm not seeing? Why don't we do this? And then, like, everyone was like, yeah, hell yeah. You know, some people said, no, well, you know, because the credit cards in 1930, you have to make sure that, you know, the banks are secured, blah, blah, blah. But there are both sides. But you realize when you come forward with something very radical that actually... some of the stuff that we think is just normal isn't normal at all. It's
right.
just the way things are done. And even like the guy who's in charge of the finance minister in Britain, he has said the finance system we have now is probably the worst one we could have.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, it is the system we have now, so we have to work within it.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe Iceland has this amazing chance now to be some sort of a canary in the mine and try something new. And even the, like, for example, in this financial world, which is like this fractional banking is stupid, that's what it is. Maybe we could set some example that could, like, benefit loads of other people.
Yeah.
You know? And maybe it will set some example which are totally stupid.
Yeah.
But at least we, I think, have to try to tackle, for example, the power that comes with money,
yeah.
and which isn't regulated at all. We can't be looking at this like Montesquieu, just looking at, like, oh, the, you know, legislative power
right.
and judicial power and, you know... This isn't the world anymore,
right?
You know, so.
So basically, you in some way or another, this will be in the final document.
I hope so. I mean, I have just one vote, but.
Yeah, but like.
I think
it's
so, yeah.
not. It's
nobody has disagreed upon the idea of it. No.
Do you hope so, or do you think it's probable, or do you
think
it's rather 95%.
Certain? 95%.
Okay.
And we tried to put in a broader. or we've thought about, we've gotten lots of computer geeks come together online and try to build a net neutrality clause which is more general, and then it would also evolve around, you know, like power, for example. You couldn't cut out power to one little village. You have to be neutral to everything that's a quality of limited amount. You know, and internet is one of them, you know. So it's even possible to word it with a more general way, but this has been come too technical, so I don't think that'll be the end result.
Okay.
But definitely trying to secure that internet is like one of the, you know, it's like a power, or it's a tool you need to be able to think freely. You know? So even though people say, oh, internet and a constitution, that's so ugly. But I mean, I think the internet is going to outlive our constitution with all respect to our work, you know. So I think it's time to be also a little bit, you know, daring.
Right.
But
don't you think that the window of opportunity has maybe already closed? Because, like, the crisis is, I mean, it's you don't see much crisis out there now.
No, but that's... what we have to count on is that when everything crashed here in Iceland, there was like a moment, there was a beautiful moment, after we have realized what had happened, we were angry and we took to the street and we were demonstrating and all that, but there was like this feeling of awakening, which was just amazing. It's like there was like this one second before a thunderstorm or something, it's like complete silence and you can think.
Yeah.
And we're like, what the fuck? Where have we gone?
Yeah.
Why are we here? And where do we want to go?
Yeah.
And I think if people can connect to this feeling that we had, sort of this awakening, or like, you know, what has happened here, you know? Jesus.
Yeah.
How in the world could we get to this place?
Yeah.
You know, if we can connect to that feeling, which I still think people have inside themselves.
Yeah.
Even though they started watching their American soap operas again and you know, just like are going to Spain, you know, if we can connect to it, I think we'll be able to do the massive change. I don't think the window's closed, no, but I think it's been, you know,
it's narrowing.
Yeah, it's narrowing a little bit, but that's why we have to like find the right tone exactly, not go to the extreme, but still be courageous enough to really tackle what needs to be changed, you know, and it's a really careful balance.
So what's going to happen if the parliament flat out rejects what you've been doing all the time? It says,
well, I think
nice try, but
yeah, that's a possibility, definitely. But I think what happens with great ideas, if they're good enough, they will conquer. You know, so if our stuff is good enough, if we've made something that's worthwhile, it'll in the end become the constitution, either in full or in part, because people will not give up. They know there is a solution, there is a way, and they know they want it. So some party will come forward in the future and say, we will fight for the constitution of 2011, and people will elect it, and blah, 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 slowly, slowly, or fast, I don't know. But if the power of ideas is much stronger than the power of people. And if they want to try to stop it with their little human bodies, they can try. But if it's good enough, it's going to win, you know.
Okay, so, sorry,
no problem.
4 minutes off
okay.
the time.
Okay, fine.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
this
you
was
too.
Intense.
Okay.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Best of luck.
Thank you.